I'm sitting here this morning with attorney Steve Jackson, who practices in the realm of estate planning. I failed to mention in the first segment the specific areas that Steve actually practices in. Obviously, he's an estate planning attorney. That's going to be his focus, of course, preparing trusts and wills. But I would imagine that you also probate estates or administer.
Yes, we administer trusts and we probate estates and we do asset protection also.
That's right. And I saw on your website that you're also involved in something called elder law, which why don't you just take a moment and explain what that is?
Elder law really is, how can we get what mom and dad own, keep it in the family or move it to the family, and still have the benefit of assistance from the government in the event mom or dad end up in the nursing home.
And does that revolve around Medicaid planning at all?
Yes. In essence, elder law is really Medicaid planning. They'll also talk about things such as incompetency through court proceedings, those type things, but it's primarily Medicaid.
Uh-huh. I have a question about that myself. Certified financial planner practitioners are not actually allowed, to my understanding, to engage in planning so that a person could qualify for Medicaid. They regard it as being against the public policy. Is that a constraint in any way upon what you have to do with respect to helping people?
Really, all of it depends on when they come to you. If they come to you early enough and it's an issue, you may want to say, let's keep the house or the farm in the family. But if they come to you late, you may not have as many opportunities to do much.
Right. Okay. Well, if you'd like to contact Steve, his number is 254-6599. And you work in, I don't know if it's the Merrill Lynch building or is it the Biltmore?
It's the Biltmore building, which is the old Axona building on Pack Place.
So it's the Biltmore building.
Pack Square.
But it says Merrill Lynch, at least on the south side of it.
It says Merrill Lynch on one side, and it says Biltmore Company on the other.
Okay, so you're right downtown. In fact, we're across the square from each other. If we had BB guns, we could plink each other's windows, I would imagine.
It.
So, all right. Anyway, before the break, we were talking about some of the issues with the change in the estate tax laws, specifically we have a one-year repeal, which we mentioned that on the face of it would sound like a good thing, that there's no more estate tax at all. But it's not quite as clean-cut or as clear-cut as one might suggest. Before we attack that, let's just see if we can talk about Congress and what Congress is doing right now to either repeal of the original estate tax laws or to put something else in place. Do you have any sense of the winds?
Yes. There were several versions in the Senate throughout 2009 to make the exemption or the amount you don't pay estate taxes permanently at $3.5 million and a flat tax rate of 45% of everything above $3.5 million. And a version of that passed in the House and then House representatives and then went over to the Senate. And the Senate decided not to take action on it. The part that was more interesting was the vote was 225-200 in favor of making a $3.5 million permanent exemption in the House, and none of the 225 were Republicans, which it is a big fundraising issue. I think most of us in the law were looking at the logic, not really following the political side.
Uh-huh.
It's a big fundraising tool for one of the parties, so they want to say we made it go away, give us large donations.
Well, how is it a fundraising tool specifically?
The opponents will say it's a death tax and we don't want to have to pay it. And if you have very wealthy clients, folks that are multimillionaires to billionaires, they have to do a lot of estate planning to try and eliminate the estate tax exposure. Because if you're paying roughly 50 cents on a dollar, mm-hmm. that's massive taxes.
Right, right.
Those folks are very inclined to give large amounts of money to whoever can make it go away.
All right. Yeah. So, would you say that we're more likely to have a repeal during 2010 of the repeal?
That's one of the questions folks have talked about is, will they go back and make it $3.5 million starting January 1?
Right.
Several legislators and some of the top people in the IRS have already said they feel that'd be unconstitutional because some people have already passed on.
Right.
And so they say what's likely is we're going to have something in the interim. The scary part about the political piece of it, which is that if one party says, hey, we want to make it go away, the problem is it comes back very heavy in 2011. So the other party can say, okay, we'll make it go away for 1 year and let it come back by itself, and now you're stuck.
Okay, right.
As opposed to working together to work it out.
Yeah. Well, let's take a little look at what used to be the step-up in basis that a lot of people are familiar with that we no longer have in 2010, at least.
Yes.
It's been replaced.
Glenn, this is the offside of the estate tax. The estate tax went away, but we have a large capital gains tax, which is what you're referring to as a step-up in basis, which is really a version of an income tax. But what it is, the example I always think of is, let's say you inherited mom and dad's house in 2009. And if mom and dad's house is worth $200,000, and it was worth $200,000 at the time they passed, you inherit it. If you sold the house, there's no capital gains tax.
Even if they paid, let's say, $15,000 for the house in 1960.
Even if they paid $15,000, the reason being is that under the law, the basis or the presumption of what they paid stepped up to the value of the date of death. That's when they call it the step up. In 2010, the step up is gone. So if mom and dad pass and you get the house in 2010 and it is a $200,000 house and mom and dad paid $15,000, a couple of difficult pieces. One is you're supposed to pay capital gains tax on the difference when you sell mom and dad's house on what mom and dad paid, the $15,000 and the $200,000. And if you have to prove what mom and dad paid. And if you can't prove it, the IRS presumption is the basis is zero.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it can be a massive tax.
That's right.
One of the examples that some of the folks at the IRS has given is that they anticipated if the estate tax was in place in 2010, the estimated estate tax returns filed would be $6,000. The estimated income tax returns that'll have to do with the step up in basis added different piece are estimated to be $600,000. So this is going to have a much broader sweep to a lot more people.
So it's a factor of, 100 to 1, I guess,
yes,
right?
Yes, because it's much more likely to hit you.
Right.
Then, you know, mom and dad may not have been, not a lot of people are above $3.5 million. And you know, and also remember, estate taxes are always voluntary. You can always plan around them. You can plan them and get them down to zero,
right,
even if you're Bill Gates.
That's right. So it's fair to say that the pernicious little detail that many people would not be aware of is that even though the estate tax is, for the moment, repealed, in its stead is this capital gains income tax that would impact far more people than the estate plan or the estate tax ever would have.
Exactly. Sort of like we're going to give you something with our right hand, and we're going to take it away with our left hand.
That's right. So anyway, the point there is that the repeal of the estate tax is not necessarily what it seems to be on the face, and you might want to visit someone to have a look at your estate planning documents. Give Steve a call at 254-6599. We'll be back after the break here on WWNC, the Talk of the Mountains.